Mental Health Matters. We are really glad you're with us again today. Tonight, we are going into another topic. You're listening to KRUU's FM, 100.1 on the FM dial, archived shows on Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And today, we're back with the Reach Out group, which is a peer-to-peer support group. And if people are interested in going to a group like that, we're out in the field, which is, if people are interested in learning more about this group or finding out if this might be useful for them, it's a free group that anybody could come to listen to a talk on some interesting subject or to just have some support. Bruce, why don't you tell us just for a moment about the group once again?
Well, we started about 13 months ago. It's got two kind of designs in it. One is that we come together. Right now, it's a pretty small group, but what we do is we check in to how our week was, how we're feeling, and what emotional challenges we have. And the second major thing is that we every week try to expose ourselves to another modality or line of thinking or therapeutic mode, which tends to create happiness or joy in people.
Okay,
That's what we do.
That's great. And I know there's other groups and we want to endorse. We're interested in supporting everybody who's doing stuff. So I know Optima is doing some wonderful groups I've been hearing about. I know they're running a grief support group right now, which is really, I've been hearing good feedback from. And we just want to support everybody getting whatever support they need, or even, you know, not thinking there's a problem, but maybe I just want to grow to the next stage. And sometimes that growth is in myself, or we were talking in the last show, we ended talking about volunteerism, maybe supporting other people to grow, which of course helps us manifold, you know, quantum growth or whatever. Anyways, today we want to talk about a couple deep subjects. And Bruce, you had some thoughts of some things you wanted to talk about. Why don't you talk about?
Okay, we live in a community that has a certain kind of meditation or spiritual leaning, and it's prided itself or it's felt for decades that it is kind of on the leading edge of self-development, if not in the United States, maybe even in the world. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been around for a long time, and it's one of the things that's true is that when people feel, even in the midst of this, that they're not living up to the standards of growth into enlightenment, let's say, it becomes a double-edged sword towards themselves, because they think that there's something wrong with them that's unique and that they can't talk to anybody about.
Mm-hmm.
And they also think that maybe if they talked about it, it would cast aspersions on the particular culture or subculture that we live in.
You mean by saying, hey, I've got something going wrong with me or some difficulty or some stress, so I'm not living up to the ideal, and so therefore I should suppress?
Right. And if the rest of the world knew that I felt like this the way, they might say that my my meditation style was harmful to people, and so it's a negative PR thing.
Mm.
But we came today with some specific questions.
Yeah, but you know, that's really interesting, because then we start blaming the tool, right? Meditation is a wonderful tool that I recommend to everybody. And I've seen clinically, apart from the really good research regarding, again, blood flow to the brain and transformations that occur. But I think what's really fascinating is seeing the work about, for instance, just something specific regarding PTSD in Africa. I did a lot of shows about that, how just doing this transcendental meditation has been so powerful in breaking that post-traumatic stress disorder in people. And it's like, and that's great. If that's what works for you, do it. If that's a technique, but that doesn't mean that all your troubles go away because you meditate. It means that I'm using this technique to better my life, so now I could do the rest of the work to better my life, whatever that means. Because I'm running, for example, or exercising, great thing to do, but that doesn't mean the rest of my problems are go away. It means that I now have that opportunity because I'm stronger and healthier and more blood full of the brain and can think clearer. Okay, now what's the next stage? Because we're all growing, every single one of us, right? So, Bruce, you had some other thoughts.
Yeah, we were having a discussion. I heard a rumor that, well, we as a town have had to face the fact that there have been some suicides here. Mm. And most people listening to the show probably know that. And one of the rumors I heard was that not just one, but maybe a couple or more, I don't know, of the suicides either felt that my next sentence was the case, or it was interpreted later by their families or whatnot, that it was actually in their mind a step towards enlightenment, that they somehow they were at a stage where they had the choice to go out and it was just fine, and or it would actually bring them enlightenment. Do you have any concerns or statements or concepts about that?
Yeah, I do. This is a very meaningful one for me. So if I sound a little shaky, you'll excuse me. I started this Fairfield Mental Health Alliance with the wonderful work of Craig Pearson over a year ago, based upon I was livid in this community because there was 3 suicides in 3 weeks. And it was very sad. But what was sad about it was not just the suicides, but the experience that the community and the families and the friends of people were in such denial about what was going on. So it's not surprising that somebody who's bipolar with psychotic features at times or traumatic brain injury or other serious conditions, and especially if they tried to kill themselves before, might have succeeded this time, which is a strange phrase to say succeeded in killing themselves. But that the community was not supporting the people to change. They weren't rallying around. And that even after sometimes some of the people that have, and yes, we'll use the phrase, killed themselves, that some of the people said that that's how the person became enlightened. And I understand for a family member to say that. I understand for a family member to say, justify their son's death, for example, or somebody's death, that they're dying because, they became enlightened. And that's okay if that helps them. What I found disturbing about it is that it then sent a message out to other people that that's okay for them to do. And what became very, very, very disturbing for me is that I had then people come to me afterwards and said, that person became enlightened. That's what everybody said. He became enlightened by killing himself. And so I'm thinking of doing this. And I've actually made some plans to kill myself. And I had that more than once happen to me. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on here? And this has to stop. I understand, as we were talking before, I was talking about documentaries I did on the elderly and people not wanting to be in pain anymore. And I understand somebody not wanting to be in pain. And we don't have to talk about assisted suicides or what political things here and there or going spiritual to God. I'm just saying nobody should be in pain, and what can we do to help people to not be in pain? But for somebody to come up with an excuse or the fear and to live in that fear, and this is part of the problem I have with the politics today, is there's so much fear-based that it drives people more into that mode. And so to not live in that fear, what do we do to take back control for ourselves and to connect with our communities and our families and our friends and our world around us, as well as within being in our bodies. But I'm sorry, I'm going on a tangent here because I'm kind of scared to talk about this myself, because it really got to me about people going to that edge themselves and wanting to be a young person and saying, well, look at what they did. Here's maybe my path. And it's like, no, that's not the path. There's ways we can do something so that you're not in pain emotionally, that the pain won't end by you killing yourself. In fact, it's not even victimless, because so many people know you, so many people care. But your reason to stay alive is not for others. It's really for yourself, so that you could become who you need to create for yourself. We are not lost in what was. Bad things have happened to every single one of us. I almost died. It's almost my 10-year anniversary of almost dying. I was on a mountain bike going down a hill on Mount Tam. And I don't know if I've talked about this before. And, you know, and I could get lost in that trauma of what happened. But what I did from that, what I created from that, after that year of recovery where I couldn't drive, I couldn't walk down a hallway, literally, everything was taken away, is that I used that experience as a way to make myself stronger, more powerful, to make a difference in the world. And by doing so, make a difference for myself. And by making a difference for myself and taking back control and power of who I was, I could then make a difference for others. And so I became a professor after that. And I started a group practice, this art and counseling center, which now has almost 50 therapists, from psychiatrists to psychologists to family therapists to counselors to social workers, everybody, even life coaches now. We're here to make a difference. And the fact that I could create an impact in different ways. I helped create this mental health alliance. I helped do a lot of things. But it's not what I did. It's not who I am. There's no ego here. It's taking something and making a difference with that. Creating a difference in the world and for yourself and for others. And that doesn't happen if we choose to leave. And I know you're in pain, but the way out of that pain is not by hurting yourself and creating more pain for yourself and others. The way out of that is to find a new path and to not be in denial about the pain, to not be afraid of the fear itself, right? What did Roosevelt say?
Oh, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah.
I have another question, which is... slightly tangential,
yeah,
or maybe it's
you.
An observation. When I was in my 20s, I'm way older than that now. I was extremely depressed. I had been doing some drugs, but mainly it was that I felt just miserable about my place in life or about life in general. And I remember how depressed I was. And what happened after that is that I was never capable of judging people who felt suicidal, because I understand completely how bad it feels. And so in a sense, I accept people who feel terrible, and I understand that, and I don't judge them even if they do kill themselves. And so that, for one thing, I'm not afraid of death myself. And so in a sense, it doesn't bother me so much. But is that wrong? I mean, anytime I hear of somebody talking possibly about that, should I just panic and freak out and talk to them? What should I do?
You're absolutely right. It's again, if you freak out, then the person freaks out and you're freaking out to them freaking out, you know? Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And yes, we've all gone through hard times. And yes, we could all identify with other people's suffering, and we don't have to be afraid of that. Again, it's getting over the fear itself. Yes, we all have bad things. We don't have to be afraid of others' bad things will not make us bad. It's not a disease. Compassion gets us out of the pain. It doesn't keep us trapped in that pain. And I think another thing to think about is that we need to let go of this notion of judgment ever. So I talk about the four horsemen of my apocalypse, of no anger, you know, of letting go of the pains that are happening to us. So it's not exactly my religion to talk about the four horsemen. It sort of came after my religion. But my four horsemen are no judgment, no shame, no guilt, and no remorse. To start becoming who I need to be, right? To see that vision of my future and to start creating it today, step by step by step. And it stops, all that progress stops every time we look out at the other, as we were talking about in the last session, and judging them or feeling shame or guilt from the other, which is our own projection, because they're lost in their own head. And so if somebody's suffering, we don't judge them and saying, don't suffer. We're saying, I understand your suffering. Let me hear you. I won't be afraid. And then let's do something about it to make a difference. We had wonderful courses here after those suicides about training people. And there are wonderful courses that you could contact us and we'll tell you about some trainings you could learn in. But the point is to not run from the fear, to have compassion and actually be an ear for somebody. And if somebody has a real plan, then say, you know, maybe it's time that we go to the hospital. Not as a way of punishment or, you know, you failed. It's maybe it's time to get some more support. Optime does some incredible, wonderful things. And there's lots of other companies out here. There's First Resources that's doing some good stuff. Art and Counseling Center, my group, is doing some really good stuff. There's wonderful practitioners here. It's not about somebody's better than the other. It's about what works, what do you need for you today? But it all starts from that moment of, I hear you. I hear your pain. Let's do something about it. Let's create something from that trauma, from that pain, from that suffering. But there's no judgment. I'm not better than any of you. I'm no better than anybody on this planet. None of us are. We're all here on the same ship going to the same place. And let's get there together. And at that emotional juncture point, you are listening to 100.1 FM, KRUU, Mental Health Matters. And today we're on to some deep subjects such as suicide. But we're here once again with the wonderful peer-to-peer support group, Reach Out. And Bruce, how can they get in touch with you guys if they're interested in such a group?
You could call me, Bruce Grady, at 641-451-1237.
And if you're in Chicago or in Singapore or wherever you're listening to this, find support which works for you.
Yeah, we do have a recommendation. We started a little group that seems to be pretty successful in its design, and I'll repeat it, and that is, You maybe put a poster up or radio thing or a little ad in the paper that you're getting together a group to do, first of all, check in to support each other, and secondly, expose yourself every week to a different healing modality or psychological theory or...
Or like what I'm talking about in terms of integration of all of them and not getting enamored with one technique or another, but again... Like exercise. Running might be good for you today, but you know your ankle hurts. Maybe running isn't so good. Maybe it's time to.
And the point is that you know people who feel depressed and anxious often think there's nothing that could apply to them. And actually, in human history, there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of paths which have been developed, which work. You know, in their culture or in a particular
and
time or
for
particular
for you,
people.
Maybe they won't.
Yeah,
and stop stop judging the groups that they're your answer. You're your answer. So the meditation thing we started with and saying, yes, this is a great technique. It really, really is. But maybe it's not your technique. Fine, then do what works for you. Create the difference that works for you today. But there's no judgment. The technique, whatever the technique, is not the answer. You're the answer. You're what's going to create the change. And that's where your power comes from, is in doing that for you today. And that's, and it's important to keep coming back to that. And, you know, you're a wonderful group here in Fairfield, Iowa. But if you're somewhere in the States, the first people I'd reach out to if you're wanting peer-to-peer support groups is NAMI, a wonderful, great organization, National Association for Mental Health Alliance, Mental Health, National...
Well, what are the, what's the acronym?
NAMI, N-A-M-I? Oh, God, I'm sorry, I'm messing this up. But you guys could look up NAMI, or whatever therapeutic techniques that you want. The point is that say you see a therapist and that therapist doesn't work for you. That doesn't mean that therapy's failed. It means just like exercising, you know, maybe running's not your thing. Maybe swimming works better for you. Or maybe it's not about running or swimming. It's maybe about that you need to apply yourself in a different way. Oh, a little stretching. Maybe start off a little slower. Maybe running wasn't the problem. Maybe it was you the problem. And so, again, you're the answer. Anyway, sorry, Bruce. You're okay. So
we could come back to our first theme. This is a very threatening question. Not to you, but a threatening question. Do you think there's something about, let's say, the meditation culture that would lead a person to sometimes think that suicide might be an enlightening act?
No, I don't think that. I do think that sometimes people use a technique as a way to run away. So one of the things I talk about, and you've probably heard me on the radio say this before, is I believe everything is application. So exercise is a great tool. Everybody would agree that everybody, especially if you're not feeling well, should exercise every single day. And that might mean just going for a stroll. It might mean running vigorously. It might mean whatever it is for you, doing some yoga, whatever works for you, okay? But can exercise also be a terrible thing, right?
Yeah. Sure.
So if I've got an eating disorder and I'm using it as a means of purging and I'm working out for 4 hours a day, it's maybe not good. Or if I'm over-exercising and doing it as a way to hurt myself, I had a guy who was doing marathons every single weekend, literally, as a way to just punish and hurt himself. And that's what he's trying to do. He wasn't trying to exercise or be healthy. He was just trying to punish, literally, psychologically. And so it's not about the technique. So I believe meditation is a wonderful, wonderful tool. That doesn't mean that people can't use it in an abusive way to run away from themselves, right? And there's lots of meditation techniques. We're enamored here in Fairfield with the Transcendental Meditation Technique, which is a wonderful thing. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it works for everybody. I think it does, but who am I to say, right? Who am I to say anything about you listening to this now? I don't know. I'm not inside your skin. You know what works for you. Try something. Work with it. See if it works for you. But don't use it as a way to run away. An application is making something good. So I also talked about trauma being this terrible thing that happened to me personally. But I could also use it as an application to make a difference for others, right? And a difference in my life. I turned trauma into a positive application to make a huge difference. And there's a huge and there's a wonderful movement really talking about utilization of trauma as a positive tool. So not that anybody should go out and almost die, I'll tell you. But it's how we apply our past. It's not what happened. It's not revisiting over and over and over again. Here's what happened. my childhood was terrible and this terrible thing happened to us and I'm unique. Well, yes, you're unique that you're human and you experiencing differently, but we've all had stuff. And yes, you took it in a way that didn't work for you. The problem isn't going back and reliving that, as most therapeutic techniques would get you enamored with, what do you feel about this? That's the old joke in therapy, right? So, Bruce, what do you feel, right? Or what do you think about it? And I'm saying, no, start with the application. You're the tool. What are you going to create from that happen then? What are you going to act on, create something new so you could have a new way to look at taking back control over your life?
That reminds me of a saying, I don't know where it came from, but it is that a good coach teaches his kids, on the, let's say on the football field, to interpret fear or the adrenaline of fear as power. And so what can happen after a traumatic event is that you have a lot of, it's actual energy in your body. You're feeling a huge amount of energy and it's turned negatively. But if you use the right psychology in yourself, you can use that to create, as the energy, to create a better life.
Absolutely. Again, everything is open to interpretation, right? Sexuality could be a wonderful thing or it could be a terrible thing. The same exact act could be a wonderful, terrible thing, depending on how it's, what's happened and what are you doing to create something different with what's happened. It's not that we have control over things attacking us or doing things to us, but what the thing we do have control over, right? The basic thing is, well, what are we creating from that? What's our reaction to it? So we're having that adrenaline. And for some people, that stress can be a terrible thing, or it could be a wonderful thing. We talked about stress could be positive or negative. It's still stress. But then what am I creating from that? So creating a wedding could be a wonderful event, but it could also be a really stressful event. So part of the thing for the new bride and groom to do is relax and enjoy the ride, so to speak, and not get trapped. I see you rolling your eyes over there. Okay. We won't use the wedding one. Anyways, we're just have a couple more minutes left. So what else would you, is there anybody else that'd like to jump on into this for a second?
I meditate, but okay. I wouldn't call myself a meditator.
Okay.
Meaning I don't belong to an organization, a group, mm-hmm. or anything else. And I've studied lots of religions. I was raised in lots of foster homes, so I went to a lot of different churches. Mm-hmm. And I never found an organized thing that was the answer for me. I had mm-hmm. to find the answer within myself. But is it a possibility that, like, healing and evangelic healing mm-hmm. or something, or do they take people that are off their meds, bipolar meds, and tell yeah. them they don't need them?
I've seen all kinds of things, and we're just about out of time. But the quick answer is, you could have something incredibly beautiful. Spirituality, religion could be wonderful things. It's, again, what am I creating from that? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there's been some terrible things that people have said in the name of God, so to mm-hmm. speak, their name of God, their interpretation to hurt others. It's, are you creating positive healing energy? Are you doing something good in the world with that? Instead of more pain, more shame, more hate at others, that other. And so I honor the fact that you did some wonderful work for yourself to really grow and to become who you need to be. And we're out of time. So thank you again for talking today on Mental Health Matters, KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial. Thank you, everyone. This is wonderful. This is Mental Health Matters. Have a great day. Bye.